Welcome to the Coworkers Podcast with Jesse and Shaney,
where every believer is a coworker in God's mission.
Hi, friends. It's just me this week, and I do have a bit more of a personal lesson than normal, but my heart is that I'm doing this for the Lord to honor the work that He's done in my life, and with great hope that it will help other people. That is my desire. I'm talking about the danger of unforgiveness and bitterness today, and I have dealt with bitterness and unforgiveness a lot in my life, actually. However, I'm very, very thankful that God has really changed me a lot in that area. I'm very much still growing, but I can look back and see some new supernatural work God did in my heart that I'm so thankful for, and it could only have been Him, and I want to share it with you. So around 5 years ago, God showed me that there were people, a few specific individuals in my life, that I was harboring unforgiveness and resentment towards. I remember it very clearly one morning. And of course, it was in the context of other things God was doing in my life. He was actually showing me a lot of unhealthy habits, some blind spots in how I think and how I relate to people. And this was in the middle of that. And He just showed me a few friends, good friends and coworkers that had hurt me years before this, but that I had never forgiven, that I had felt very betrayed and hurt. And I think I had minimized that pain, stuffed it in the busyness of life. I did not process it and deal with it well at all because life just kept moving and more transitions kept happening. And obviously, if it were easy to forgive them, I would have already done it by then. So it wasn't, this was not easy. But God is the one who showed that to me in my heart, and God gave me the power to do it. I'm so thankful. Again, I was already feeling really needy and soft-hearted at this time because of other things God was showing me in my life. So I was very aware of my weaknesses. And God gave me this new compassion for these friends. He helped me to just see things more from their perspective and not to minimize the hurt that they caused me, but to a better understanding of we're all doing the best we can in our own situations with our own brokenness and issues and struggles in our lives. And as I was becoming more aware of my issues, who am I that I would not forgive someone else for that? Now, after that, something very unexpected happened. I did not expect much, but this led to my eyes being opened to more and more blind spots in my life, and specifically in how I relate to other people on my team. Somehow, forgiving them showed me that because of those unresolved hurts from the previous team members, I had put up a layer of self-protection around my heart with other team members. It was like my eyes were just opened to this, that my stance was a bit defensive, basically just watching for any sign that someone might not be trustworthy or loyal to me. And if that happens, then you're put in the outer circle. You're not trustworthy, so I'm not going to let you fully in. And so everybody was divided up into two groups, those that were my people and trustworthy, and those that were not, that I had to keep at a distance to protect myself. I'm thankful to say that that was 5 years ago, and there was a pretty intense season of about 1 or 2 years of God really changing me. This was one step, one marker on that timeline. And I want to give glory to God that because of the power of the Holy Spirit, He can change us in ways that we cannot change ourselves. And I had moments in that season of feeling very discouraged, like I cannot change myself. There's a verse in the Bible that talks about just like a leopard can't change their spots, we can't change ourselves. That's exactly how I felt. But through just a lot of God's patience and God completing the work in me and me just continuing and continuing to come back to Him. The righteous may fall seven times, but they get back up is a very encouraging proverb for me. And God has helped me so much in how I relate to my coworkers. And I feel so much more freedom and joy in my teaming relationships than before. I am so thankful I'm able to enjoy and see what loving coworkers God has given me. Definitely old Shaney still peeks her head out, but when she does, I'm able to recognize it and correct her and put her back in her place and choose not to act on that most of the time. I'm still growing. So today I want to talk to you all about the danger of unforgiveness and resentment in our teams. This will apply to any relationship in your life, but I'm trying to talk specifically for our teams. Is there someone on your team that you struggle to love? Someone that you wouldn't mind if you heard they were going to leave the field or leave your church? Someone that you just struggle to get along with? Your personalities just don't click. Maybe someone that you just always have misunderstandings with, or someone that really hurt you and you've just struggled to ever have for that relationship to ever be the same. Maybe someone that when you're scrolling on social media and you come to their posts, you just notice unloving feelings in your heart. I'm guessing a lot of you have people coming to your mind. And maybe you've heard the illustration that bitterness and unforgiveness, it's like being angry at a rat and then you yourself eating the rat poison yourself. It's not going to hurt the rat. You are the one who suffers. And I have seen that in my life. I have suffered from my own lack of forgiving others and my resentment towards others. I have suffered from it. It's negatively affected important relationships in my life and how I see people. So let's talk about what the Bible has to say about anger and unforgiveness. Anger is a normal human experience that everyone is going to experience and that God even experiences. God gets angry. So anger in itself is not always sinful. We all know the verse, be angry and do not sin. But God's anger was over people's sin. There's many examples in the Bible, actually a lot if you search for it, of God being really angry and his anger being kindled towards people and him acting out in wrath. Numbers 11 is when the people were complaining about the manna and the meat, and the anger of God was kindled, and he struck the people with a very great plague, and they died. So God feels anger and even acts out in anger. However, God is also slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. That verse is in the Bible multiple times. And Proverbs teaches that it is wise to control our anger. It's foolish to have a quick temper. We're commanded to be slow to anger and to live self-controlled lives. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. And we're not to allow unresolved anger in our hearts for long. Do not let the sun set on your anger, because it can give the enemy a foothold and lead to more evil. And so instead, we are to forgive others for hurting us. And God's love for us, specifically Christ's death on the cross, which gave us full forgiveness of all of our sins, that is the foundation of our love and grace that we then pass on to others and what gives us the strength to forgive others. Jesus in the Bible gives these rules for how to handle anger. And Jesus has no tolerance for unforgiveness in the lives of his forgiven children. There are stern warnings for us if we do not forgive others. And I think at least part of the reason for that is God loves us. He wants the best for us. And he knows how destructive unforgiveness is in our lives, in our hearts, in our relationships. The Bible teaches that unresolved anger or unforgiveness is dangerous. And I just want to refer to Ephesians 4, 17 through 32 a little bit. This was a passage that I journaled a lot about in this season several years ago, but I still have some of the journals and I still have my Bible all written up all around these verses. And in these verses, it talks about that we should no longer walk as the Gentiles do. And they are darkened in their understanding. They have hard hearts and they have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality. But that is not the way that you learned Christ. And we put off our old selves and we are renewed in the spirit of our minds and we put on the new self. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. And then later it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. So we are no longer hard-hearted and callous like non-believers. We have put off that anger, and we now have tender hearts. We are to be tender-hearted and we are to forgive one another. And this word callous really stuck with me because God showed me that failing to forgive others results in us putting calluses over those wounds in our heart. And we build up layers and layers of calluses, and our hearts become very hard, which obviously leads to more and more problems and unhealthy emotions, unhealthy habits of relating. Hard-hearted people cannot have healthy relationships with others or with God. For me in my life, leaving those unresolved hurts in my heart, completely denying them, stuffing them, minimizing them, that resulted in a hard heart that was self-protective in order to prevent future possible hurts. I want to quote Chip Dodd in his book, The Voice of the Heart. It's a great book just on the different emotions that we experience and how to have healthy emotions. He says, we often attempt to avoid the truth and vulnerability of hurt by hiding it, denying it, or dying from it. Avoiding hurt renders us numb and therefore numbs our hearts and their hunger for healing and life, which comes through relationships. When hurt is denied, minimized, or projected onto another, it becomes resentment. And through resentment, we are able to deflect the focus from the internal pain and onto someone else. And this kills relationships and therefore stops all healing. Sometimes the resentment that we take out on another person is hurt that we've never dealt with. And it's a distrust in all other people because of our old unhealed wounds. Other times, we use resentment to stay stuck so we don't have to acknowledge our own vulnerability and we don't have to take responsibility for our own hurt or the hurts we've caused to others. And these behaviors take us farther from our hearts. And in leaving our hearts behind, we leave behind full life. That's Chip Dodd. And that was me. And I believe that's many people, especially people who've dealt with much bigger wounds than I have in my very good life with a lot of loving people in my life. However, we all get hurt and we do many times learn to deal with our pain on our own and we become self-protective and defensive and we become really good at blocking people out before they can hurt us. I'm going to read to you a little bit of my journal from 2019. So this is like some months after I forgave my friends, my coworkers. I'm going to give you an example. Now, in this journal entry, I'm talking about my marriage, but I think it will help you see an example of how self-protection hinders intimacy and trust in our relationships. When I feel rejected, insecure, or have unmet needs in our marriage, I harden my heart, callous in parentheses, and I give myself up to sensuality. So that's from Ephesians 4. Such as an escape to make me feel good. I'll escape to work or a book and run away in fear. Or lash out in anger. Or let bitterness begin to grow. And then I withdraw emotionally and withhold affection, intimacy, and service. I become callous, self-protective, and live independently in my heart. And I function as if I don't need Jesse's love and approval. And I turn to other things to make me happy. This is a destructive cycle. Sin always has consequences. I am not only a victim, I too am hurting others. I confess I have caused hurt to Jesse and our marriage by running away instead of moving in like Jesus, by harboring unforgiveness, bitterness, and hypocrisy in my heart, by withholding the love, support, and affection that Jesse needs. I want freedom. And I wrote in all caps, no more. I ask for your transformation inside me, breaking these sinful habits, putting off the old, being renewed, and putting on the new. And I praise God for his faithfulness to hear those prayers and many, many prayers like it. So I hope you're convinced. I hope you're feeling sober-minded about the danger of unforgiveness. And if we don't deal with our past, then it is going to come out in our present. Let me give you a few more warnings about the danger of unforgiveness and hard-heartedness. So hard-heartedness towards others due to an unforgiven offense affects our relationship with God. And we all know the verse in Matthew 5 when Jesus says, if you are offering your gift at the altar and remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift, stop worshiping, and go be reconciled to your brother, and then come offer your gift. We cannot properly worship God when we have unforgiveness or something between us and a brother in our family of God. Also, Ephesians 4 says that unforgiveness can give the enemy a foothold in our lives. Think about the foolishness of that. Think about how scary that is, that we would just open wide the door and say, Satan, demons, come on in. I'm going to hold on to this unforgiveness. And it's just like welcoming the enemy into our thoughts and our relationships. James 1 says, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Most of the time, our anger does not result in righteousness. We have to be very careful when we feel angry and take it to the Lord. In 1 John 2, it says that if we say we are in the light, but we hate our brother, we're actually in darkness and we stumble around in the darkness. So holding that unforgiveness results in us stumbling around in darkness, being involved in a dark world, and it puts us at risk for more temptation. Think about when you feel really angry. You have so much less strength to fight temptation in that moment. That's when we are prone to reach out to something to make us feel better or to lash out in anger and hurt someone that we love. If you have hurt your teammate, you do not want to leave them there. You do not want to leave them in their anger because you're leaving them in a position that gives the potential for the enemy to work in their hearts and for them to give in to temptation. The loving thing to do is to pursue reconciliation so that we can set that person free from the danger of anger and unforgiveness. Also in Ephesians 4, it talks about that we are all members of one another. We are all members of the body of Christ. And so any unforgiveness between two members of your team is not going to allow the body of Christ to function properly. It's going to affect your effectiveness as a team. We have an extra responsibility to be reconciled for the good of our task. Our task is too important. People hearing the gospel and being saved and Jesus Christ's name being high and lifted up is too important for us to allow our unwillingness to forgive to have that negative effect on our work. And remember, we're all family. Just like we teach our kids, they're going to be brothers and sisters for life. It's the same for us in the body of Christ. And then in Romans 12, Paul wrote, "Live in harmony. Do not repay evil with evil, but overcome evil with good. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God." So Paul says that as far as it depends on us, we are to do everything we can to be at peace with others. Now, this verse shows this is not always possible. We cannot control other people. And this doesn't mean we're going to try to be best friends with everyone. There's a lot of good resources out there on healthy boundaries. But we are to do everything we can to be at peace, to resolve conflict and hurt, and to never avenge. It says never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. And when we experience evil, we are to overcome evil with good. Now, this is 10 times easier to talk about than to put into practice. Proverbs 15:1 says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." It sounds so simple. Someone's rude to you, you just give them the soft answer. Forgive others as Christ forgave you. However, it's very difficult for people like me because I, in that moment, tend to believe I have to protect myself to make sure I don't get hurt more and more. And to forgive someone or to say a soft response, that puts me in a vulnerable position. And I have to trust God in that moment to protect me. Ultimately, unforgiveness is a lack of faith in God. We are not trusting in God's revenge. Either he's not going to do it, or it's not going to be right. It's not going to be fast enough. And basically, we're saying we know better than God. We're not trusting in God's sovereignty. Think about the story of Joseph. When Joseph said, "What others meant for evil, God meant for good." Anything in our lives, any past hurt that we experience, God allowed it to happen, and he promises to use it for good. It's also a lack of faith and trust in God to fill us up and heal our hearts when other people hurt us. Do we really believe that his love is enough for us? We also are not taking seriously God's warnings about the danger of unresolved anger whenever we don't forgive people. We should take seriously these warnings that it's giving the enemy a foothold, and we should not think that we're going to be the exception to that rule, that we're going to be the ones that manage to get away with just continuing to allow that bitterness with no consequences in our lives. And unforgiveness is taking Christ's forgiveness of our sin lightly. So it can be very hard to forgive people. And sometimes people are not going to honor our forgiveness. And we have to, again, be okay with that and be filled up by God and trust him to take care of us. And let's all remember, I'll speak for myself. No one is perfectly trustworthy. I'm not. I haven't been a perfect friend to anyone in my life. I haven't been a perfect teammate or coworker to anyone I've ever worked with. There have been plenty of times that I have had unloving thoughts and feelings, negative thoughts and feelings, and even said some of those out loud. So I think sometimes we don't trust other people because we know we're not trustworthy, and we're afraid that everyone else is just like us. The more we experience and grow secure in God's love, the easier forgiveness will become for us. because we become more and more filled up by God. The Bible is clear. We forgive one another as God in Christ forgave us. And the very next verse in Ephesians says, "Beloved children, be imitators of God and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us." We are beloved children. We're walking in God's love. We are receiving God's love, and that fills us up, and we are forgiven, and that gives us the power to forgive others. Have you ever just imagined how much your sin must offend God? Sometimes I think about how easily I can overlook my unloving thoughts towards others. And I think about how quickly offended I can get if someone is unloving to my child. Mama Bear comes out. If I think someone's going to hurt my child, my instinct is to protect my child, and I will be against any person who tries to hurt them. Think about how much God loves the people in your life that you're struggling to forgive, especially if they're his children. That's his daughter. That's his son that he gave his blood for, that he loves, and he is actively working in their life, and he is protecting them and providing all that they need. And he is not taking your bitterness towards that person or your hurtful words. He does not take that lightly. And so I think there is a bit of a sober warning there for us. And yet, he doesn't distance himself from us. He doesn't become judgmental and mean and against us like we get in those situations. He doesn't give up on us. He is so loving. His love is like a waterfall just drenching us, and it never, ever stops. I heard Beth Moore share in a teaching that for a time in her life, she kept an empty cup with her in her hands during her quiet time in the morning as a visual reminder that every morning she needed to be filled up by God at the beginning of that day, so that she wouldn't be looking to other people or other things to fill her up. And she would hold that cup up and ask God to fill it. And sometimes she said he would fill it to overflowing. And that was just extra blessing, and it was extra that she had to give to others. And I think that's such a good thing to remember. When we are filled up with God's love and we are secure in him and we are actively experiencing how good it feels to be loved by God, we are experiencing his acceptance and his approval, and we go to him as our refuge, and we share all of our hurts with him. We confess our sin with him, and we experience his welcome and his love, and he never misunderstands us. He never rejects us, and that truly does fill us up, so that we are much less needy for others. Ultimately, we are responsible for forgiving people and releasing them from the ways they've hurt us. So again, I just want you to think, if anyone has come to your mind as you have listened who has hurt you, it could have been years ago. It's never too late to go back and take that to the Lord and process that with the Lord and pour your heart out to the Lord like he tells us to do in Psalms. I would encourage you, this might take some time. You might have to carve out time to be with the Lord, pursue his presence. I would encourage you to write down every hurt that comes to your mind and don't minimize it. Don't tell yourself, oh, I'm being dramatic or I'm not being thankful. If it hurt you, then write it down, whether you think it should have hurt you or not, and ask God to heal your heart. And as you think of those memories, just try to imagine Jesus right beside you when it happened. He saw it all. He was with you through it all. And he did care for you and get you through it. And take time to reflect upon how much God has forgiven you of. all the secret sins that he sees in your heart and the price that Christ paid for you on the cross. Jesus' blood, that's the price. That's the price tag God has put on you. That's how much you are worth to him. And remember his promise that you do not have to avenge. You leave that in his hands. You can trust him. He's a good father. He will care for you. And even when we love people and they hurt us, God sees it. And that is part of following Jesus. It's a call to die to self. It's not a call to self-protection. And remember that God loves that person, and pray for the good of that person, and make a decision to forgive that person, even when you don't feel it, even when you don't trust that person, even when you're not sure that you'll get along well. But decide to forgive and keep asking God for strength to forgive. You might have to be patient with yourself, but remember, God is changing you, and he will complete the work he has started in you. And it's been a long work for me. So I've had to be patient. And today I was flipping through journals and I was reading a lot of the same stuff over and over. But I also can see how faithful God is to meet us where we are. And usually in the moment, we don't see the growth, but when we look back, we can. But God will answer your prayers. If you want him to help you forgive, that is a prayer he will help you answer. Satan will also keep trying to sow those seeds of hurt feelings and remind you, and that those old feelings of bitterness may come back up. So just keep determining to forgive and love that person, and praying for God to bless that person. And just see how praying for people can quickly change our hearts towards them. And I want to encourage you that you don't know what God might do through you forgiving that person. Whether or not sometimes that results in us going and talking to that person, and it can open up room for God to work in their lives in a special way. I have experienced that. It also can lead to God doing more in our lives. And like I mentioned at the beginning, God helped me to forgive people, and that, I believe, was an important step that had a domino effect to all these other steps, all these other things God did in my life to change how I relate to my teammates, my coworkers, my husband, my friends, that even led to, I feel like, some inner healing and freedom and joy in my heart that has just opened up my heart to live more fully, as Chip Dodds talks about in his book. It's opened up my heart to experience God's love and acceptance of me in more powerful ways. And it's helped me to be able to recognize when I fall into that self-protection and I don't let people in and genuinely love them. So know that it is important for you to obey and to forgive. And I believe there are many benefits of forgiveness in our lives. And I'm just going to end by listing a few. Forgiveness leads to greater intimacy with God, greater power to fight temptation, closer and healthier relationships in your life, breakthroughs in your own ability to share vulnerably and to experience more intimacy in relationships, less fear of man, more mental and emotional energy, less depression. Many counselors agree that anger is one of the most common causes or symptoms of depression, better sleep, better physical health, and just more spiritual growth and well-being in general. I hope that this will be helpful for you in your relationships in your life and for your team, your church, so that we can have relationships that reflect the love we have received from God, and that people would truly be able to look at us and see a difference in how we love and forgive one another. And I pray for you that if you have someone who has hurt you and you have unresolved hurt, that you would take it to the Holy Spirit, the wonderful counselor, and pour out your heart to him and just take the small steps of obedience that he will give you, because he wants to heal your heart. He wants you to live fully in freedom and to not be carrying around the burden of bitterness that is like poison to your soul.